Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Happy Sabbath. It's a beautiful morning. Aren't you glad to be here? Steward. The definition of this word in the dictionary is one that takes care of something given to him. Someone who is somewhat of a caretaker. A child is given some money to take care of by their wealthy relative. The relative gives the child the opportunity to invest the money and make more or spend it. The relative leaves the child for a month with a caretaker who is only there to help the child with whichever decision the child makes about what to do about the money. Put yourself in the shoes of that child. You've been given the same option with the money and you have the freedom to spend the money on whatever you want. What do you do? Now imagine that the money isn't money. I know it's a bit of a shot, but bear with me. Imagine that the money is a talent. The talent of public speaking. The talent of working well with large groups. The talent of singing, writing, drawing, painting, running, sports, or educational talents. Add all these up and think about them now as proverbial money in the child's situation. Your wealthy relative is none other than your Father in heaven, the creator of not only the universe, but also your talents. He has given you these talents in hopes that you will use them wisely. Will you invest in the talents and work to make them better and use them to bring people to Christ? Or will you waste the talents for self-glorifying purposes or just not use the talents at all? Some have asked how they can use their talents to bring people closer to God, and the answers can be found all around you. If your talent is running, you can be the best runner in the world, and you can give all the glory to God for your talent. You can be a role model for others, for other runners that look up to you. You can be the worst runner out there, and you can still give praise to God because at least you have the chance to race and run. Scripture talks about three servants given talents. In Matthew 25, we find that the first of the three servants has been given five talents by his Lord, and he goes out and uses his talents and multiplies his talents twofold and gains the blessings of his Lord at his return. The second servant was given two talents and did the same as the first servant. He also gained two more talents and was given blessings by his Lord at his return. The last servant was given one talent and didn't use it. Instead, he took the talent and buried it so he could save it. When his Lord returned, he came to find out that his servant had not used his talent and had instead wasted it. Because of this, his talent was taken away and given to the servant who had doubled his five talents. Are you that servant who was given the one talent? I have a friend I've known since seventh grade, and they have a remarkable singing talent I haven't heard anywhere outside of a music studio. This person has always used their talents to glorify God. I remember walking up on them at school and always catching them singing a praise song to God. When people would hear them, they would ask where they got their gift from. I never once heard them say it was from a singing coach or they had just learned it. They always said it was from God and he had given them the talent. I would always wonder if I was doing the same. This person was like one of the first two servants in Scripture, but I always felt like the last servant. Was I using my talents to point people towards Christ? Am I sharing my talents and blessings with others like God would want me to? Are you? Are you being a steward? Time is a blessing God has given us. Are you using the time he has given you to lead those around you to Christ? I know it's easy for most of us to think that we have time that we can help others later on in life. But do we really? Nobody knows that for sure, so why take the chance and miss the opportunity? Use the talents and blessings God has given to you. Be a steward and take care of what he has given you. Don't make the wrong decision and waste what he has given you.
Friendship is a highly valued gift from God. I'd be lost without my friends. They give me advice, pray for me, and help me when I need it. You need friends for almost everything you do. Psalms 109, 4 and 5 shares, "In return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship." Think about that. Do you have any close friends? I hope that inside your heart, your best friend is Jesus. To be honest, sometimes I get angry at my friends. They say or do something you don't like, and you blow up. Proverbs 12:16 says, "A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads him astray." The person or thing that leads us astray could be one of our best friends. or a computer, a book, TV, or a painting or drawing that is not uplifting. There are all kinds of wicked or bad things that you have to look out for. A good example is David and Bathsheba. He had many wives. She had a husband. I can't imagine the guilt, pain, and crying that went on between them as a result of their actions. They loved each other, but they didn't have to give in to their temptation. They could have just remained friends, but instead they were lovers. To illustrate my point of view, I've written a short story entitled, I'd Rather Eat Spinach. Allie pushed open the door of the Dairy Queen and walked over to her friend's table. Amber looked up from her milkshake just long enough to flash her trouble grin. Uh-oh, thought Allie, but instead she said, what's up? Allie pulled out a box, cigarettes. How am I ever going to get myself out of this one, thought Allie. Where'd you get those, she asked. I'm not telling, said Amber. Let me finish my shake and we'll go smoke a couple. No way, I'd rather eat spinach, cried Allie as she ran out of the Dairy Queen. Just as the story illustrates, you need to choose your friends carefully and make sure they won't try to get you to do something displeasing to God. Think about who your closest friends are, then tell them that they are special. Pray for them or help them with something. That will make both you and them feel good. I don't know who your best friend is, but mine, he's in heaven, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to start off with a quote from C.S. Lewis, in which he says, I think that if God forgives us, we must also forgive ourselves. But how many times do we actually do this? We often hold on to regrets of the past, things we should have done differently, or even things we wished we had done. There are times when we wish we could have been better Christians, or even just told people about our relationship with Christ. We continue to carry these burdens, even though we claim to have accepted forgiveness from God. We may have accepted forgiveness for our sins, but what about our past, our disappointments, our failures, and regrets? Our theme today is stewardship. I always think of stewardship as what we do with what we've been given. Usually the terms apply to what we do with our money and tithing, but stewardship definitely extends beyond this principle. Stewardship is all about how we handle the things we've been given by another person. What has God given us? This question probably brings to mind John 3:16, which says that, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God clearly sent his Son to die for us, that we could live in heaven for eternity. It is one of the basic foundations of Christianity, the cross. God gave us his Son in order that we could not only have everlasting life, but we could live abundantly here on earth. We don't have to wait until heaven to receive full forgiveness and accept this relationship with God. But if we've been given the cross, why do we continue to carry a heavy load and carry the burdens of our past? Stewardship involves what we've been given in terms of Christ. He gave us forgiveness, love, and peace. And instead, we continue to cling to our grudges, anger, and fighting. But Christ took all of that away. He offers us complete and abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus states, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God wants us to have a complete life here on earth without carrying major burdens and even provided us with a way that we can live this way. Hebrews 10:22 says, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. God has given us a way through faith to approach him with confidence. When we have a true faith in God, he can cleanse us from everything, our mistakes and our past. But what is this faith that we are required to have? Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is the substance or realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As soon as we have this faith in God, we can be free. Psalms 103 says, For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. One of my favorite songs is called East to West by Casting Crowns. I'm just going to read you part of the lyrics. Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today, I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? because I can't bear to see the man I've been from rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy, I find rest, because you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Jesus found out just what it meant to remove all our regrets and guilt when he was on the cross. The cross wiped away out all of our past, not only our sins, but our regrets and guilt as well. We may look back at certain situations or instances, and all we see is mistakes. But when God looks at our past, he really sees the cross. For through the cross and what Christ did for us, we are perfect in the sight of God. Ephesians 1:4 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The Bible is full of scriptures showing just what the cross has done for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Christ has done everything he can to offer us a complete life here on earth. He has died on the cross and given us freedom not only to live for eternity, but have peace here on earth. One of the songs we were going to sing today was "How Could You Say No," which is one of the songs that really impacted my decision for Christ. Part of this song says, "He's left it up to you. He's done all that he can. Is there any way you could say no to this man? How could you look in his tear-stained eyes, knowing it's you he's thinking of? Could you tell him you're not ready to give him your life? Could you say you don't think you need his love?" Isn't that really what it comes down to? Christ has done everything, and we still have doubts, and sometimes deny that we want to live our lives for him. But I'm asking you the basic question. What are you living for, and would you be willing to sacrifice eternity for it? If there are any grudges and regrets, are they separating or hurting your relationship with Christ? We really have no excuse to hold grudges or be angry with anyone. If God has forgiven us, why can't we forgive others? Jesus shares a parable in Matthew 18. It says, "Then Peter came up to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you, up to 7 times, up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had until his payments be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if do to each of you, from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Christ died on the cross in order to take away all our regrets and doubt, but with this also comes the challenge to forgive all those who we come in contact with. God does not want us to hold grudges and remain angry with others when he has given the ultimate forgiveness. We cannot be like the servant who was forgiven such a great debt but would not forgive others. I know my life changed forever when I chose to live for God. At first, God was someone I had always just heard about, but being a Christian isn't real until God is your best friend. Just think, if we think being best friends is not something we want now, why would we want to spend eternity with him? Dwight L. Moody states that, "A rule I've had for years is that to treat the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal friend. His is not a creed, a mere doctrine, but it's he himself we have. We have been given Christ. It is as simple as that. We have been given something we definitely don't deserve, yet we still question whether we want it. We're standing at the edge of eternity, still looking back at the things of the world, hoping they'll be better and help us more than Christ will. But the truth is, Christ is the only one who can give us eternity and freedom from our past. Sometimes we think we're not good enough, that our past is just too bad, but when you look at a list of Bible characters, we really have no excuse. Moses stuttered, David's armor didn't fit, Jacob was a liar, David had an affair, Solomon was too rich, Abraham was too old, David was too young, Peter was afraid of death, Lazarus was dead, John was self-righteous, Jesus was too poor, Naomi was a widow, Paul was a murderer, so was Moses, Jonah ran from God, Miriam was a gossip, Gideon and Thomas both doubted, Jeremiah was depressed, and Martha was a worrywart. We have no excuse not to follow God and live for Him. Sometimes we get caught up in doctrines or things in the church, but everything comes back to the basic Bible truth that Christ died for us in order that we could be reconciled with God. It is all about what we do with the cross. I'd like to share a short illustration. It's Christmas morning, exactly as one pictures a traditional Christmas. The Christmas tree is decorated with piles of presents underneath. A lot of care has been put into making everything ready, making sure everyone has the presents they wanted and they're all in place. The children get up, all excited that it's finally Christmas. They run into the room with the Christmas tree and take a quick look at the shiny packages underneath. But instead of running to open the presents, they all sit down and start talking and ask when breakfast is ready. The parents are confused and wonder why they don't open the presents. While this seems like a silly story, I don't think it's very different from what God feels when we reject Him. He has given us the ultimate present, His Son. Yet, it just lays there. We take a look at it, but don't realize the full benefits. Not only does it come with the promise of eternal life with Him, it gives us a way to have a better, more abundant life here on earth. My prayer is that we would all accept what the cross truly involves, no matter what stage we're at in our Christian experience. I'm also speaking to myself when I say this. I want to see all of you in heaven and not find out that a perfect gift was left unopened. I would just like to close with the final challenge. Live as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the grave today, and is coming back tomorrow.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.